That's me on the podcast, sharing a song with something to say about it. With Thin Lear and Niagara Moon, losing my opinion.
So I heard you had some big news recently, Thin Lear.
Oh, don't frame it like that.
Your little kid's birthday?
Oh, no, that is crazy big news. It's big news for me and my life. But yeah, we took her to, she's 2 years old. We took her to Sesame Place out in Pennsylvania near Philly. And she had a great time. She hugged all the characters. There's a song that I heard that I wanted to tell you about. We don't have to listen to it on the show because I know I've tortured you with baby music enough. But it's called The Elmo Slide. And I've never heard it before this weekend. And it's basically like the Cha-Cha Slide. Right.
But it's Elmo.
It's Elmo. And it's this song. Oh my God. It's very annoying. And it was playing throughout the park the whole time. Like our brains were being reprogrammed. But yeah, we had a blast.
Wow.
Do you appreciate finding new baby songs though as they come up because you're just inundated? So you hear a new one and it's like the best thing you've ever heard.
It's a breath of fresh air.
Anything where I hear like effort is good. Like there's this song we listened to it on this podcast a couple weeks back. It's called like the Choo Choo Song, and like you hear there's like chord changes to it. There's like a bridge. Like I heard Songcraft and I was like, yes, I love it. Like I, you know, it's not a great song, but like I appreciate it more than like that other song we were listening to, Thomas, with the I'll be forgetting the name of it. You know,
see,
the one.
That's the problem with YouTube is there's a lot of songs on there that are just there to generate revenue through, you know, little toddlers clicking on them. There's no love in those songs.
No, right. Yeah, you don't feel there's the love. No love. Like, I want to feel the song crafts. And then I
you feel the formula. You feel the formula. Oh,
it's like AI took over. AI wrote the song.
That's right.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. I have a new appreciation for, this is our generation, but like Raffi, you know, like there was like love in
a
Raffi's
true craftsman.
Music. He's a craftsman. You know, like I appreciate that, but like some of this, man.
Wow.
Good Lord. But yeah.
You got to celebrate Alma's second birthday party with all the Sesame Street characters. Does she have a favorite Sesame Street character?
Elmo, hands down.
Okay.
Like ran up to Elmo, big hug.
Does she know Elmo's World, that song? Or is that more my time?
I don't know. I don't know that song, so she probably doesn't.
We're dating ourselves now.
Really. That song plays in my head every other day since I was.
Well, how does it go?
La 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 la. Elmo's World. Elmo's World.
I don't know this. This must be like
Wallace Field knows what I'm talking about.
I do. I don't know it as well as you, Thomas, but I do know la, Elmo's
la,
World.
La 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 la. Elmo's World.
That's good. You'll have to pitch that
his
up afterwards.
His crayons too. All right, let's introduce our guest for this week.
That's a tough act to follow.
Yeah,
we
really
got
difficult.
We got ourselves here a staple of the Western Massachusetts songwriter community, a fantastic indie rocker, indie folkster. I don't know which way you lean more heavily, but we're celebrating the one-year anniversary of her debut solo album, All Costs. My wife and I were playing that basically every morning for a good while. Great songs on that album. We have the exquisitely talented Wallace Field with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope you guys are both okay.
Oh, we'd love it. Broken promises. No, we do the whole thing. It's awesome for like getting pumped up at the beginning of the day, like while taking a shower or something.
Great.
You put it on the Bluetooth speaker. Yeah. Great album. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wallace said this is the first podcast that you've ever done.
Oh, really?
I find that very exciting. And I hope that after this experience that you would want to do another podcast.
We'll find out. Time will tell.
I guess we'll see. We'll ask you again at the end.
Time is telling right now.
It's happening right now. We'll ask you again at the end and we'll see how we did.
You have a 5-minute feedback survey. Stay on the line. Answer these three questions.
We should do feedback surveys for our guests. We don't do that. We only do that for listeners.
Yeah, we're just like, you had a great time, right? Yeah. We don't really check in afterwards.
Come back again or come back never again.
Exit interviews maybe. Those might be called for.
Well, Thomas, today... I guess we should introduce the show first.
We should introduce the show.
Yeah,
we were really taking our sweet old time here. This is Losing My Opinion, the one and only music opinion podcast. The only one where people are sharing their hot takes. We come on here every week. We prepare songs and, you know, an argument to make or a thesis to share, you know, some new perspective. Everybody else has no idea what to expect. Surprise is the name of the game. Shocking. I am grilled cheese aficionado.
Oh, man, what am I going to do with this?
Indie artist Niagara Moon, a.k.a. Thomas Irwin.
I am, I don't know, grilled cheese agnostic, indie artist Thinlier, a.k.a. Matt Longo. If it's a good one, if it's a good grilled cheese, I'll stand up for it. But usually it's just...
I'm trying not to judge.
What, you're a big fan?
How are you gonna... Well, I'm not like grilled cheese, like number one fan, but you're going to diss grilled cheese?
Maybe...
A normal grilled cheese is still a great experience. I don't know.
I guess. I don't know.
Who hurt you? Yeah. What grilled cheese hurt you?
Don't take this the wrong way, Thinlier, but you really strike me as somebody who has like a low tolerance for dairy.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Me included.
Is it because I'm right there with so you. Sickly? Yeah, you're right. I do. Yes.
Cheese will get you. Cheese will surprise you, but it's worth it. It's always worth it.
Cheese is worth it. That's the title of today's episode.
Yeah. No, I do have music to talk about today.
Is it a fun one or is it going to be?
It's very fun, very apropos. Okay. But I do want to know, Wallace, do you have a favorite type of cheese for the record here?
I'm kind of like boring and mainstream, but I got to go cheddar.
Cheddar is pretty good. Yeah.
What about you guys?
I'll say cheddar. That's...
Cheddar, honorable mention for pepper jack.
Okay. Yeah. I only started eating pepper jack recently because I just didn't know what it was. It kind of scared me. It's like, it's cheddar, but it's got stuff in it. So, you know, I'm getting there, but it's a whole new world.
Like, I like cheese, but I want it to be uncomfortable to eat. Let's have some pepper jack.
That's how you feel about pepper jack?
Yeah, it's a little spicy.
I don't know if it's too
pepper
spicy.
Pepper jack's too spicy. I think that's the lamest thing you've ever said.
Oh. You're bringing in Arthur today? All right, so what is happening?
Behind me is a picture of the cartoon Arthur. My topic for today could not be more apropos.
Do you have a child now? Is there something that you haven't told
me? I don't have a child, but here's the deal. As you mentioned, we've had past episodes where you talk about your toddler playlists, what your now two-year-old daughter is listening to. Mm-hmm. I want to fast forward through that timeline a little bit to kids shows in general, themes from kids shows, but I'm going to be more specific. You see, when I was growing up, when I was a little kid, I didn't have cable. We had a TV. We had, you know, a little antenna sticking out that you genuinely did have to, like, physically maneuver sometimes. Mm. Really dating myself now. But I did not have cable. I was limited to network TV. So you had NBC, you had Fox, you had ABC, you had PBS.
Mm.
Is that not cable TV?
No. Not as far as I know.
I'm learning things here today.
Cable TV was like, oh, Nickelodeon, oh, fucking yeah. Cartoon Network, ah. Oh. So like, you know, family trips, like going to see my grandma just meant like me and my sister like holing up in my grandma's bedroom, just like soaking in all the Cartoon Network that we could justify. Yeah. We were starved.
Not having that stuff doesn't make it so you don't want it. Yeah. You just binge it when you get access. Yeah.
It's the same thing where it's like we weren't allowed any like console video games, same. You know, just same. Game Boy. So it's like you go over to on a play date and you're just like, yo, let's just do Smash Brothers for 4 hours. So I, little kid, what did I have to watch? It was mostly PBS. PBS kid shows were there for me. We're looking at the top PBS kid show theme songs today.
Okay.
That is so good. That is so good.
There's some good ones.
There are some great ones. This ended up being such a pleasure this week. Like there is some stiff competition in this category. There are bangers up and down the board. PBS kid show themes, they're amazing. Even better than the Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network counterparts, I think.
Mm. It's going to be a nostalgic episode.
It will, yeah. This is heavy 90s territory we're going in here.
Okay.
I have a picture of Arthur up behind me. We're gonna start strong. We're going to listen to the Arthur theme song.
I don't think I know this.
Hey.
Yeah, Wallace well, knows what's up. I think it'll come to you real quick. Okay. Wallace, were you all about the PBS back in the day?
I did partake, although now that I've learned what the difference is between network and cable TV, I was cable kid as well. So, you know, I was Arthur, but we also watched Franklin and I'm trying to think what else. I mean, Little Bear.
I don't know Little Bear.
Classics. Yeah. You don't know Little Bear?
No. I read the Berenstain Bears.
Different, but, you know, they're probably cousins.
I wouldn't be surprised.
The Bear Universe, the extended Bear Universe.
Yeah, yeah. The bear community is very small.
Sure.
Small world, big bears.
Right.
So we're going to check out the Arthur theme song here. This is, I'm going to assume the song is from like the debut year of the show. So this is 1996, performed by Ziggy Marley and the Melody Makers. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Wow.
Composed by Judy Henderson and Jerry DeVilliers Jr. With all these, you're going to see like the writer and the performer are usually two separate entities. But yeah, Ziggy Marley, I would say the most prominent of the Marley offspring. I can't really name any others at this moment, but this is just a masterpiece. This is what inspired this. This is a great song. The crazy thing is, I don't know if this is going to conclusively be the best. Mm. Like, I'm going to show you five here today. You can tell me at the end, each of you, which one's your favorite. But I think it's going to be hard. There's a lot of good stuff here. Mm. Yeah, starting with the Arthur theme song. So you never heard this then, Lear?
No, I know this.
Every day when you're walking down the street, and everybody that you meet has an original point of view. And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other. You got to listen to your heart, listen to the beat, listen to the rhythm of the street. Open up your eyes, open up your ears, get together and make things better by working together. It's a simple message, and it comes from the heart. Oh, believe in yourself, for that's the place to start. Start and I say, hey, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If we can learn to work and play.
Wow, they just wrote the hell out of the song.
Can't beat that syncopation.
Listen to your heart, listen to the beat, listen to the rhythm of the street. Open up your eyes, open up your ears, get together and make things better by working together. It's a simple message, and it comes from the heart.
That bass line is happening.
Believe in yourself, for that's the place.
Isn't it almost too good, though?
Hey!
What are you talking about, too good? This should be a child's introduction to the world and to music. You should start as strong as you can.
It's going to be hard to top that.
That is so sweet. It is so sweet.
That's great. And like my body is just primed to like now see an ad for Juicy Juice. Remember they always had those Juicy Juice ads falling?
Juicy.
And I was like, what kind of juice is that? Well, anyway.
I'm assuming you were not allowed to have that.
It looked a little sweet. Yeah, it was not on there. We had Ketum grape juice.
Were you an ingredients household?
What is that?
Were you an ingredients household? Like you didn't have like the processed shit?
Oh, no, we didn't go that far, but...
Oh, I thought you did.
I don't know. Like having a root beer would be like, you know, a special deal.
Sure.
Ooh. Yeah, I know that the PBS 2 ingredients household pipeline is very strong.
You'd figure.
Yeah. So I think we're all unanimous that that's a strong
that's
contender.
Spectacular. Yeah, performance-wise, the writing, there's a bridge on it. Like, anytime you get a bridge on, like, a children's song, like, that's fucking great. Like, it's hard to, you know, dispute the songcraft.
Classic.
Classic. Speaking of classics, I have to include the OG, the SNL of children's shows. Sesame Street is up next.
I heard this one quite a bit the last couple of days.
Here's the thing. I don't, you know, you got to give respect to Sesame Street. I don't think... it's really going to stand up to these other tunes I'm bringing in
today. It's not the best. They have songs with like Rubber Ducky or whatever. Like there are songs within Sesame Street that are grade A, but I do think it's the intro is kind of just a tag for the show. It's not like, it doesn't feel as complete to me as the song that we just heard, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I don't even remember the Sesame Street song.
There you go.
You're going to hear the hook and it's going to come back pretty quick.
It'll jog my memory.
Yeah, you'll definitely remember it. It's also like just the hook, kind of.
Kind of. Yeah, I was a little disappointed going back to this. I'm playing specifically like the version of it that ran from 1998 to 2001 or whatever. So, you know, obviously the version I was going to be hearing. The song is written in 1969, back when Sesame Street debuted, composed by Joe Raposo. He wrote the lyrics to the song with John Stone and Bruce Hart. I never heard of any of those people, but, you know, it's a classic.
Their estates could be listening to this right now.
Sure.
We just lost them.
Damn. All right. This is a classic, you know, and it's decades older than the rest of the stuff we're going to be listening to. It has its place. It's got a great hook. But my thing here with this 90s version, at least, they have like a bunch of kids singing it. The kids screwed it up. But you guys can see what you think.
Jeez.
They are literally children, Thomas.
Real Grinch over here.
I mean, you tell me. I don't think the kids nailed it vocally. But here we go. Kind of sounds like a Monkees track.
Yeah.
Instantly come back.
On my way to where the air is sweet.
Wow.
Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?
Those kids just ain't hitting the notes, though.
I don't know if that's the point, Thomas, but... I felt like there was like a Stevie Wonder kind of vibe that they were going for. Like,
totally.
They have that harmonica that's their doing harmonica. This thing. It's like a, you know, sort of Motownish bass line. Like, it just always felt Stevie Wonderish to me. Like, they're the essence of that song.
I can get that. I think, Thomas, I think, honestly, you're being a little too harsh. I think that absolutely slapped. I love the idea of kids singing with imperfect little kid voices.
Okay.
I think that gives, like, you know, gritty, jazzy feel to it. But that's just me.
Sure. Yeah. It's, well, is it better than the Arthur theme song?
Oh, absolutely not.
No.
Okay. Yeah. All right. No, it's definitely, it deserves to be on this list, but yeah, that was all. It's just, it's not hitting the highs of these other tunes.
No.
Can I also say that the feeling of nostalgia is so strong when I hear that I also literally start to get anxiety about going to school.
Oh,
like
God.
When I hear, I'm like, oh shit, I got to go to second grade. Like, that's how hard the nostalgia pulls on me when I hear that.
Boy. But you got to watch TV before school? I never got to do that.
I would watch, yeah, for maybe like 20, 30 minutes just to kind of take the edge off the day.
That was also forbidden in my home.
Jeez.
Oh.
I don't think I was getting up early enough to watch TV either. So.
Do you overcompensate now?
He's watching TV while we're recording this.
Oh, you're watching TV right now.
What did you guys
say? You're watching reality TV.
Yes,
as
I see it in his glasses. I see it reflected in.
Hold on, let me just finish this clip. All right, so we're back. All right, we got a great one. This next tune here, "Ride on the Magic School Bus."
Yeah.
1994, performed by Richard Wayne Penniman, aka Little Richard.
What?
Bet you didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Mr. Tutti Frutti on vocals here.
Oh my gosh.
Written by Peter Lurie. L-U-R-Y-E, Lurie, Peter something. This is an all-timer, obviously. Magic School Bus, Lily Tomlin. It sounds like they kind of butchered it with the Netflix version, but haven't seen it yet, so I can't comment. Do you guys know who does the theme song for the new Netflix version of Magic School Bus?
No.
No, I didn't know it had been revived.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh.
Ooh, I was actually going to bring up, so there's a show on PBS that we should listen to this. It's great. The theme is great. The show is great. It's called Alma's Way. It's about a kid growing up in the Bronx. And of course, Alma loves it, my child.
Same name. Okay.
And the theme song is written by, co-written by Lin-Manuel Miranda. It's a really good theme. And it's on PBS.
I mean, the guy is talented. He just also, it's like, oh, he's in that? He's doing that? It's like, he's in everything
he's
right now.
Yeah. Just everywhere, all at once, mm-hmm. all the time.
All the time. Yeah. All right. Well, did both of you watch the Magic School Bus growing up?
Yes.
It's a little bit after my time. You're really hitting the young millennial demo today. This is a little bit past my time. But
what would be your time? Like Speed Racer?
God, no. That's, geez, man. My time would be like Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, that's not a kid's
like
show.
That kind of. Oh, but you don't know about this.
But that's the same. No, that's the same era, though, because as a bridge to both worlds here.
Right.
That also was going on at the same time.
All right.
On Nickelodeon.
So I'm just a few years ahead on the
You're
timeline.
On the dark side.
Yeah,
dark side.
That's right.
You're a little advanced. I played the Magic School Bus computer games. That was my jam. There's one about, like, I learned all the different types of rocks Or there's one where they go outer space. There's one that's like about marine biology. Mm. It's made me the keen intellectual that I am today here. All right, Magic School Bus, Little Richard, take it away.
Seatbelts, everyone! Please let this be a normal field trip. With a friend?
No way!
Cruising on down Main Street, you're relaxed and feeling good. Next thing that you know, you see it.
Octopus in the main run.
Surfing on the sound wave.
Come on in and don't be shy. Just to make your day complete, you might get baked into a pie on a magic school bus.
Wow. Wallace, what are your initial thoughts?
I mean, there's a lot going on in the actual intro in terms of visuals that I found that is competing with the song. So I feel like I couldn't actually appreciate the song, because I was like, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of children in danger here.
Should we listen to it again, but I turn away from the video?
Close my eyes.
I think I'm good. I didn't love that one. I love Little Richard, one of the greatest vocalists ever.
I think it just got lost. He got lost in the beeping. Yeah,
there's a lot of voiceover actor business in general, even if you weren't looking at the visuals. Yeah, it's a little crowded.
There's also the other songs we listened to. Sesame Street aside, I guess the first song we listened to that we really liked, it was kind of not so much about Arthur. It was about a vibe.
It was about believing
Arthur
yourself.
Conveys.
Yeah.
It's like a message related to Arthur. It wasn't like, hey, there's a plankton in front of you, or like your intestines are messed up and there's a bus inside of them. You know, this was like real specific, and I feel like it hurt the song.
Yeah, I guess that's a pitfall if you get too expository.
That's right.
Well, yeah, it's I like it. It's got a lot of flair, but yeah, it's not. I think Arthur is still the emerging winner here.
Yeah.
All right, I might be out on a limb by myself with this next choice. But I think this is the dark horse of the contest. A little show that started in 1999 called Dragon Tales.
I feel like I did see that, but I'm not as familiar with it.
So it's Canadian.
Oh, hey.
And actually, guys, this might have just been on CPTV, Connecticut Public Television. So maybe this.
Oh, so you said that and my heart skipped a beat. I thought you were talking like C-SPAN or something.
And now a children's show.
See, you had PBS on Channel 57, but you also had what was sort of PBS, but it was like Connecticut specific, maybe CPTV on Channel 24.
Wow.
You get a lot of overlap, but this might have been a Channel 24 only deal here with Dragon Tales.
This is going to be good for the algorithm. I think just really broad material.
Neither of you watched Dragon Tales. The show is okay. This song is so good. This might be like my personal, like I have the most affection for this song. Written by Jesse Harris, Joey Levine, and Mary Wood. Mary Wood performs this. I guess she had it. It was a little murky getting the songwriting credits, but... This is a great one. I guess both of you will be listening for the first time.
Totally. Is Tails, is this like a Z at the end? Or
No, it's not. It's more wholesome than that. No, it's spelled properly. No, it's these two kids that like would rub like special dragon stones and they go to a dragon land.
Okay.
Yeah.
Emmy wished on a dragon scale, and that's what started Dragon Tales. Around the room the dragons flew, but Emmy and Max knew what to do. They climbed on the backs of the dragon friends. Now the adventures never end. Dragon Tales, Dragon Tales, it's almost time for Dragon Tales. Come along, take my hand, let's all go to Dragonland.
Close harmonies.
Got a little vocal melisma there.
Yeah. It's like Suzanne Vega decided to write a children's show theme.
This one also plays in my head. every other day, probably. Scott, right in my noggin.
It feels very, like, energized. Like, you're ready for the morning. You're, like, I don't know.
It's really positive.
It's effervescent. Yeah.
Yeah. You just feel good. You're like, I don't know what I just heard, but I feel a little bit better.
Yeah. It's got a little bit of a bossa nova tinge.
Yeah, it's like a morning coffee vibe to it. Yeah. There's a real adult contemporary feel to that song.
Maybe why I like it so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, almost a Buena Vista Social Club rhythm for a second.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah.
It's right there.
So I like that one a lot. Maybe we'll call that my personal favorite, my honorary mention. Here's the question. So I'm getting the sense, Arthur, believing yourself is still reigning supreme in the group here.
It's just so good. It's so tight.
Mm-hmm.
This last pick might be the one that could knock it off the shelf. This could take home the prize. It's definitely, it's got the fattest beat of all these themes.
We've been missing that, yeah.
That is the original 1983 version of the Reading Rainbow theme.
Oh, I was hoping you'd bring this in.
This is, you got to end on this. I mean, this is next level here. The synth tone in this is so juicy, and it's just uphill from there.
It's like legendary.
So both the Reading Rainbow was right in the sweet spot for both of you, I got to imagine.
Mm-hmm. I remember, like, in elementary school, teachers wheeling out the TV on the cart, mm-hmm. like, the TV on the cart, wheeling it into the classroom, hopping in that VHS, and showing us Reading Rainbow.
Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. and Bill Nye, the science guy, that was the other prize.
Classic.
Sure. Yeah.
That theme song, I don't know.
I don't remember it.
Bill Nye, the science guy. It's just like a bunch of people saying Bill.
Bill
over
Nye, the science guy.
Bill. Okay, you both remember it. Cheers.
I mean, that's, but maybe if we have extra time, maybe we should fit that one in there too. I don't think it would take home the prize, but.
Okay.
All right. Reading Rainbow performed by Tina Fabrique. A lot of people think it's Chaka Khan. This is not Chaka Khan. This is Tina Fabrique. The song is written by Dennis Neil Kleinman, Janet Weir, and Stephen Horlick.
There's always teams with these songs. Why do you think that is?
It's hard to do both music and lyrics. Just watch the rom-com okay. from Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
Reading Rainbow. Yeah. LeVar Burton. Come on. So this is the intro. This song is so good. We'll see if it can top Ziggy Marley.
All right. That's high bar.
Animal Collective.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow.
You guys, I feel like I'm liking this more.
It's good.
Yeah, that's number one for me.
Yeah, I think it has taken number one for me.
Wow.
Yeah, that totally upset Arthur. Sorry, Arthur.
Sorry, Arthur. I would like listen to that, though. Like, independent.
Yeah, like you want a whole album.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think the Reading Rainbow one, it just has staying power. It has crowd appeal. You play that in a club and everyone is going to go nuts. Arthur, very small niche group of people will appreciate it.
I don't know about small niche, but I want both. I really don't want, I feel like Arthur has like, the song just has more going on to its betterment. Like it's, you know, it's got a bridge, it's got more parts, you got better mm-hmm. sonic fidelity. I don't know. It's like trying to compare jazz and the Beatles, like you want, you know, they're doing different things, but I'll accept that we found the champion for today here.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's so good. I mean, like, that, if you stripped away the vocals, like, there are elements of that that would sit in like 2008 like Passion Pit,
yeah,
Atlas,
yeah,
Sound era Brooklyn, like it would fit, it would be fine, like Yaysayer or something, you know.
It's damn funky. So that was all I had. I think we nailed it here. Should we fit in the Bill Nye theme just to?
Oh, I think, yeah, as a closer, palate cleanser, Bill Nye, yeah.
Let's do that.
Also, the eclipse was today. I feel like we should honor the science guy.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right, yeah. Date of this record, April 8th. Matt missed the whole thing down in Jersey.
So
no, it was yellowy. I caught some yellowy tinges by the corner of my window.
Oh, you made it sound so exciting.
I was also like closing the blinds. I was like, I don't want the baby to like accidentally look outside. So I was just shutting everything.
It's only when you look directly in the sun.
It was still just the anxiety in me.
You know what that synth sounds like? You know that LCD sound system song? Oh Baby, I think it's called. It's like,
Oh Baby.
Yeah, it sounds exactly like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. All right, well, you asked for it. You're going to get it. The Bill Nye the Science Guy theme from 1993. Our last walk down memory lane here before we hand it over to Wallace Field. But here we go.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that.
You don't like it. Why don't you like it?
I don't know. It's like not a lot to it.
I think that's a you had to be there.
It is situation. In your face.
It is.
And only in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that one setting.
It's probably been done, but I think it would really slap on a club dance floor.
Oh, that's definitely been done. Yeah, it feels like something out of Space Jam. Like it feels like a sports arena anthem. I mean,
maybe that's another category for you to do in the future is remixes of 90s TV show songs.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We're not an EDM podcast, but I guess we could be.
We could be.
Expand your market.
That's right.
That Bill Nye, that was a Disney production, so that didn't count for my PBS show kids themes list. But that was it today. Seems like we had a blast. So thank you both for joining me on that journey.
Thanks for taking us on that journey. Yeah, really.
Wallace Field, what have you been listening to this week?
Losing my opinion.
Yeah, I guess, well, I can answer a question, then I'll like go on to the songs that I have for today. But I guess this week, have you guys seen that latest Tiny Desk concert with, I'm probably going to mispronounce her name, Chapel Rowan?
I haven't.
I have not.
She is, I think, just like this up-and-coming queer pop artist, and she does her Tiny Desk in drag, and it's just absolutely incredible. I've been obsessed with her newest album. I think it's like The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess or something.
Title's
very
got
cool.
My attention.
Yeah.
So what's the name?
Chapel Rowan. It's Chapel Rowan.
What does it sound like?
What does it sound like? Should I play a clip?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Now that we're here. But the song that's been really like giving me life of hers is probably one of her more popular ones. It's Red Wine Supernova.
Red Wine Supernova.
Oh, God. I know you're going to do that.
Supernova.
I knew he was going to do that. That band is tight.
Right? It's so good. Yeah, definitely listen to her full album. I think she's on. She's opening for Olivia Rodrigo right now.
That checks out.
That's a good opening slot to have.
Totally.
Wow. Very cool.
All right. So the theme I have for you guys is kind of a deep cut into my brain. I am really inspired by Australian and New Zealand folk artists.
Hell yeah.
I don't know why. I'm just really drawn to that whole music scene over there.
Let's do this. I'm so down for this.
Yeah. So I picked a few songs, and coincidentally, they are all from the sophomore records of these artists. Mm. So that's also like a thread within a thread. But the first one is one of my musical icons, Aldous Harding.
Oh,
have you guys ever heard of her?
The best. The best.
Oh my gosh. Amazing. Yeah.
She's the first person I thought of when you.
Really?
Yeah. Talking about the Kiwis.
Yep. The Kiwis. Love the Kiwi music. And her sophomore album, Party, like changed my life. And it's like one of the reasons I feel like I got into music. Like, I don't know. It was just changed my life.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like
pretty incredible and unique. And I love how she like brings in the like Yoderowski vibe into
you're talking about the Barrel music video.
Yeah, like that. Like it'll just or like the Apocalypse Now video that she did. Like, you know, there's just visually she's like no one else. Yeah. And then like sometimes it matches the song, or when I see a video initially, I'm like, I don't know if this matches the song. But then after a while, it's like I can't separate the two. So like she's just coming at it from a different angle. There's a KEXP performance that she did like a little while back that's just like, you know, just hits all the marks. Everything, whenever she's trying to do something, she like achieves it creatively, which is very rare for someone that kind of on the margins, you know.
Yeah, and I feel like I know too much about her musical history because I am just love her so much. But she was originally going to school, she was thinking about being like a vet tech or something, and she was like, guess I'll try music and give that a shot.
Oh, wow.
And here we are. So she could have been a vet tech.
She'd be such still a can. Far out vet tech. I'd be like, what is going on with this vet tech?
She is so, especially like the Barrel and then like Warm Chris.
Love that. Oh my God. Yeah.
She's the most like inscrutable artist I think I've ever heard. Like song to song, I'm like, I have no idea what this vibe is or who this person is. Like,
how is that possible though? That's like the beauty of music to me. It's like, what is she talking about? Does she even know what she's talking about? And yet it has mass appeal.
Right. Like, cause the songs are jams, but I'm like, what is the emotional tone of this? Like, I understand all the words you just said, but what do you mean?
Why in that order?
Yeah. Like, what is this? She's like the, one of the biggest question marks for me of like any singer songwriter. It's fascinating.
Totally.
Yeah.
But it works. It totally works. And it's kind of like, she reminds me like Neil Young mixed with Kate Bush or something.
That's good. Yeah.
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 Get more for your dollar, man. What the hell is this?
All this is on the podcast with us right now?
Yeah, there she is. Just standing there.
No deal.
She makes such interesting choices musically, too. They'll be like, you know, like think about that song Designer, which is like there are parts of it that are straightforward. And then like there's that gap in the song between when like the end of the chorus is about to start. It's Designer. You know, like she like kind of just like drops into it. And it's very confusing and great.
And it's very like I just appreciate how simple her arrangements are, and I think that's an intentional choice that she chooses. She doesn't like to add in a whole lot of extra sounds or layers, and I think it's such a bold move. It's very brave.
All right, so you showed us
What are we listening to?
Yeah, so this is Horizon.
It's a good one.
Have you ever seen the music video for it?
I mean, this screenshot is sort of triggering my mind. I'm more familiar with her from like the Barrel onward, but this is like she's on a cliffside or something in this video.
Yeah. All of her music videos are very intense or like out there. It's like you're probably going to get a combo.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to revisit this one, Horizon. What's the album called that this is off of?
This is her sophomore album, Party.
Something like 2017, 2018.
Yep, 2017.
Let's do it.
Already so ominous.
So austere. This footage could be from like Midsommar.
Let me put the water in the bowl for your wounds, babe. Let me fill you up with the fingers of love you can't lose, babe. When you watch me play, does it feel bad, darling, when they choose me? Say again, this place. I broke my neck dancing to the edge of the world, babe. My mouth is wet, don't you forget it, don't you lose me. Here is your princess, and here is the horizon. Here is your princess, and here is the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
ratchet down. I never could amount. That's it, bye.
I could keep listening to more and more of that.
It's so intense and beautiful at the same time.
That's a good way to describe her. Yeah.
I feel very like intimidated and scared by that, but also drawn in.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has that vibe. Even the live performance, it's just like, oh shit. Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen her live?
I did actually. She opened for Andy Schaaf. I saw this. This was like back in 2017. I had no idea who she was.
Oh my God.
It's just her and her keyboard. And yeah, it was very intimate, very stripped back sound.
Wow. Yeah. She's very intense and she like locks eyes with different audience members and just keeps her gaze there.
Fully committed.
Yeah. What do you think of that, Matt?
I love it. Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Aldis Harding. There's not many like her. And it is like, you know, I'm a big fan of like Wicker Man and not the Nicolas Cage version, but like, you know, that you talk about brought up Midsommar. I don't think that's a coincidence that you brought that up. Like, you know, that the folk horror genre. And I feel like if there's an artist who carries on that tradition that was started on like the Wicker Man soundtrack, it's Aldis Harding, you know, where it's like that sort of rustic gloom, you know, like where it's just, like you said, it's ominous, but it's like, you know, pastoral.
Mm.
I don't think anybody else does that like she does.
Yeah. I've read some of like people trying to describe her sound as gothic folk.
Sure.
Maybe she's moved away from that kind of darkness. There's the last couple albums haven't been as dark and ominous, but definitely in Party, the album, it's very heavy.
I'm trying to think of who else you're going to bring in. I have guesses, but I don't want to blow up your spot.
Ooh.
I have no guesses.
You have no guesses. I want to hear your guesses.
Julia Jacklin.
Ooh, okay. We could go to the third link because that is indeed
hell yeah
someone on my list.
You called it.
I didn't click it. I swear to God.
Hell yeah. I love that for us. Yeah. So the second song I want to share with you is from her sophomore album Crushing, which came out in 2019. This song is called Body.
I have feelings about this song.
I want to hear about your feelings. I mean, this is just the opening track, I think, to Crushing, and it's another really intense one, but so crystal clear at the same time.
I think this is one of lyrically, this is one of the best songs written in the last 10 years. And like, I don't think that that's crazy to say. I would even say just period, one of the best songs written in the last 10 years. Like, I can't think of what is the word for it? I can think of an outro that's more absolutely fucking devastating than the one on this song.
Mm.
Such simple lines. And just paints this picture of this fucking person that is just impossible, how devastating the relationship was, and you know, reframing it now for herself. Like, yeah, it's a devastating song. And I don't think it's a song that anybody else could write. You know, like, that's what we all strive for, to like to write a song and be like, that's that person. Like, nobody else could do that one. Like, I can't think of another songwriter that can do this song.
Yeah.
Totally.
So I'm not familiar with her.
You're in for a treat.
You're in for a treat.
Sounds like it.
Thomas hates lyrics, though, so definitely.
I don't hate lyrics. I just don't value them as much as you do.
So you're a music guy over lyrics guy.
Definitely.
Interesting.
Yeah. I listen to a lot of music where I don't understand language.
Wow.
It's been a trend for me, yeah.
And Matt, you're a lyrics guy over music?
It's equal. I'm aware that you can't just put like, you know, Shakespeare over like a whack melody and it's going to be great. Like, you know, obviously the music has to be great. But like, yeah, I very much listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, I'm a lyrics girl before music.
I mean, this song is not hard, I think, to enjoy.
Let's do it. We'll start from the top here.
The police met the plane. They let you finish your meal. I know you'd like to believe it, baby, but you're more keen than criminal. Just a boy who could get to a domestic flight without lighting up in the restroom. Got cold, cloud of smoke, thumbs still on the light. You look so proud.
couldn't wait to call a friend. We had to fly back home. Never got the money back for that weekend. Right there on the Sydney tarmac, I threw my luggage down. I said, I'm gonna leave you. I'm not a good woman when you're around. That's when the sound came in.
I keep sharing these songs, or it feels awful to cut them off partway through. It just feels wrong.
Yeah, you gotta listen to that entire song. I think for anyone who's listened to that, like, listen to the whole fucking song. There's no reason not to.
Mm-hmm.
That ending of the song, you know, she's saying, I guess it's just my life. It's just my body. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I haven't heard that expressed in that way in song before. And, like, I remember the first time I heard that, I just, like, had tears in my eyes and, like, didn't know why. I had to like go back through and listen because I didn't know how I got there emotionally. And like that was, yeah, unreal.
Yeah, I think for me, like the song, it just encapsulates like so much of like when you're younger and maybe you're, you know, trying out the dating scene and trying to find people who like respect you and stuff. And like as someone like who is a woman and going through that, like oftentimes you feel very used and just like objectified, even in situations where it's not so obvious. But I think maybe that like that outro to the song, I guess it's just my life and it's just my body, kind of just like that stabs the knife in of like exactly that of like, oh, like you don't actually see me as a person or as an equal, you see me as a thing.
Yeah, yeah, and that the lines about the picture that he took, and like, I really hope you don't like destroy me with this. Like, yeah, I've just not heard this expressed in this way before, as starkly as it is, because there's not a lot happening in the song. You know, like it's building. Obviously, it's very tense, and it gets to this part where there's this like, you know, distorted electric guitar that's kind of doing its thing. Mm-hmm. But even then, you know, it sort of plods along and just unadorned. Wallace, I think you enjoy that. Now you keep showing us these artists that are
seeing a trend here.
Musically unadorned and like stark, but very specific.
It's simple. Yeah. I think I gravitate toward them because for me, they represent what I can do. I'm a very like late blooming musician and artist. Like I had been writing songs for a while in secret, but I am not a musician first. I'm a songwriter first. Mm. And so listening to the starkness and simplicity and intensity of songs from Aldous Harding, songs from Julia Jacklin, for me, I feel represented. Like, oh, if they can do that, that's kind of where I'm at, and I can do that. So in a way, they really did like help push me to share music publicly because I didn't feel as like stupid, I guess, sharing songs when I only knew like four chords.
You got some sick guitar riffs, so I wouldn't disparage your own songwriting.
Those are not me. Those are all neat.
Well, you collab with people who really can embellish and bring your songs to life. So
definitely.
Yeah, that was like a really, obviously, I haven't heard the whole song yet, the ending of the song or whatever. I'm definitely going to check that out later. But
are you familiar with Julia Jacklin Thomas?
I'm not. You brought up your topic for today. I'm like, okay, Aldous Harding, and I don't know anybody else. So this is a great learning experience for me too.
Oh my gosh, I just guilty pleasure sharing Australian and Kiwi artists.
that was ominous. That, again, it ominous, but like in a very different kind of like small personal way. Just I listen to lyrics too, Matt, sometimes. Uh-huh. I care. Yeah. I take in the words, take in a story. That one, that was like oozing subtext. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I would give that whole album a listen. And that song starts the album.
Oh boy.
Like,
pretty ballsy way to open a record. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the third one that I have to share with you is by a band called Tiny Ruins. Are you guys familiar with them?
Yeah. You know, I've not actually heard them, but I keep hearing the name and they're associated with great stuff. So it's something I'm sure I will enjoy.
Yeah. Tiny Ruins is a band that's the band project, I guess, of Holly Fulbrook, and she's a Kiwi artist. And actually, I did see her open a couple years ago in Boston for Aldous Harding. I think it was at the Red Room in Boston. And for when I think of Tiny Ruins, I think of poetry. Like, I think as a songwriter, like, I'm not a poet necessarily. I write very journalistically about, like, what happened and what was I feeling, and, you know, more straight to the point, kind of like Julia Jacklin's Body. But with Tiny Ruins, the poetry lens is just there. She writes so descriptively and takes you away to her world, her, you know, fantasy world. And I really love that. So this is a song called Carriages from her sophomore album, which is called Brightly Painted One, which came out in 2014.
You like when artists really hit in their stride. Yeah, get that sophomore record.
I guess so. It is interesting with the sophomore record thread. Yeah. I didn't realize that until I was putting this together.
All the opening tracks are a different placement.
I don't know about this one. Yeah.
Have these all ended up being artists from New Zealand, or was the last one Australian?
Aldous Harding, New Zealand, Tiny Ruins, New Zealand, and Julia Jacklin is Australian.
Sydney Tarmac.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that one was haunting. So Tiny Ruins, Carriages. Yeah, let's check it out. This one's ominous too.
Noise before the dawn lures me up and about, adding on bare feet, quiet as a lover's doubt. All of the railings black against the light.
All these music videos are so cinematic. They're all like indie movies on Netflix.
Work-a-day, carriages of the night cry by. Can you weave me a forgiving sea? Sew me a boat to get back to thee.
This is great.
Will you build me an honest bridge that I may cross when I come to it? Find me a pair of foolproof
wings. Yeah, this is great too.
Spin me a story.
That was awesome.
That unwinds and
so pretty, right?
Mm. Love those changes.
Yeah.
And again, that really minimal slow burn sound. Yeah, that's the Wallace Field special. Yeah.
Yeah, you love this tension. Yeah, she's like, you know, these like 4 minute songs where you're just like this the whole time.
Totally.
Yeah.
I know. It's funny. I haven't actually listened to these songs in a long time, like, because I was like living in them for so long. But now that like we're revisiting and, you know, we're seeing some of the music videos, I find myself like I am getting lost in them again, which just to me is like, I love that when you can like fall back into an album or a song that you really love and maybe, you know, different life experiences have happened and they hit you a little differently, but still just as deep.
I agree with that. A played out song is just waiting to be rediscovered again at a different point in your life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Except for Nirvana. I feel like I don't need to come back to that. But yes.
Except maybe when the mood hits.
Maybe. Yeah.
What do you guys think of that one?
I love that one.
I loved
too.
It. That was gorgeous. Yeah. You should make this if you want to. You should make a playlist of this, of this like 10 tracks that we can put out with the episode and direct people towards.
I love making playlists. I actually have made a playlist every week for like 10 years. I change out every week. It's called the Giving Me Life playlist. And I change it out. I don't know. It's like a music journal for me of sorts. Huh. And just like, Gone with the Wind next week. And so I will make you a playlist. Love making playlists.
All right.
I'd be happy to put that in the show notes. Yeah. for people to check out. Well, now comes the point of the show where we ask what we've all learned.
Learned a lot.
Oh my gosh. Well, I feel nostalgic. I feel appreciation for nostalgia. It's, you know, starting off with Thomas's PBS Kids theme songs. I really loved remembering a lot of those and bring me back to my childhood, and just really enjoyed talking with you guys.
So you would come back then? There's a returning to our question.
Oh man, you really snuck that in. Yeah, definitely.
Great. And you would do another podcast. You're not like, I'm not going to.
Oh yeah.
Okay, great. That's good. Yeah, success.
All right, that's legally binding.
That's like.
Oh yes, of course. Do you need like a fingerprint and, you know?
Yeah, you can send that to
us. Security number.
Yeah, we do need your social. We do ask all of our guests for their social.
No, it's all right. I found that while we were talking. Thin Lear, whatever you call yourself. What'd you learn this week?
I learned Reading Rainbow, amazing theme that James Murphy is probably influenced by heavily. And listen to Aldous Harding and Julia Jacklin. And I thought you were going to bring up maybe Stella Donnelly or Courtney Barnett. But I guess we're sort of skirting the line of like, what is folk? But I mean,
That's true. And I do love them. They're just, in terms of like my soul connection, I don't really have like a soul connection with their
music.
They're
a different mood. I feel you. Yeah.
It's a different vibe.
Different mood.
Different vibe. Yeah, no, this is right in the sweet spot of what I love. So I'm really happy. I didn't learn anything other than I just want to continue listening to that music, which I guess is learning something.
Yeah, I learned Aldous Harding, you know, as unique as she is, she's not exactly an island. There are apparently at least two other songwriters, artists from that part of the world that have a somewhat similar vibe. This is apparently a scene that I can check out now.
I know. I would love to go check out that scene someday.
If it weren't for the spiders. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That and the plane ticket cost.
Yeah, I guess those are the twin things holding me back.
Mainly the plane ticket cost, I would say. Yeah, the 48-hour commute. I really look forward to hearing a playlist if you get that together. And this was a big treat today. I'd love to know what you guys got going on. Anything you want to plug for the folks listening?
There's an unannounced show, which might be announced by the time this comes out. I think it's May 7th at Hoxton Reed in Greenfield.
Love that place.
Yeah, so we'll see. I wish I had a better plug for you now, but...
How about you, Thin Lear?
Second single from the Space Bomb produced Thin Lear EP, Beach of Nightly Glory, is coming out May 1st. I'm not going to say the name of the song because I don't know if the name of the song will be out at this point in this episode. You always confuse me, but that'll come out May 1st. And shout out to my label that actually started in Australia.
Wow.
I'm sure they'd be really happy to hear our guest today talking about great Australian music. Yes. What about you, Thomas?
Yeah, I got my third and final single from my upcoming album. The single's called Rudy. It is a dedication to my dog. It's coming out in tandem with a awesome animated music video. So keep a lookout for a new single and new video for Rudy on April 26th, and then the album's going to be soon to follow.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. And out there in podcast listener land, if you enjoyed this episode, and if you want to keep listening to future episodes, you can go ahead and subscribe on your platform of choice. You can follow Losing My Opinion on Instagram, TikTok, or
AOX.
All at Losing My Opinion.
The coolest of social media
platforms. The coolest one. Great numbers. Growing rapidly. And Dragon Tales. Just a wonderful, I would say maybe the most underrated PBS kids show theme, Dragon Tales. I could be wrong now. But I don't think so.
You're not going to be losing your opinion about that today.
I will not.
Oh, that was good.
Snap.
That's good. We don't get a lot of puns on this. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Wallace Fields, for being here with us. We hope you'll come back.
I mean, thank you so much for having me. I'd love to come back.
And I'll say thanks for listening, everyone. And so long, suckers. We'll see you next week.